Hello, and welcome to Oxcast, Daily Info's weekly events roundup. This week, I've got Jousting, Jazz on a Train, and May Day Breakfasts.
And I've got Soapboxes, Art Weeks, and May Day Music.
And there is a rather famous play coming to the Oxford Playhouse this week.
There is indeed. There can't be many people who haven't seen either the film or a stage production of The History Boys by Alan Bennett, a play about eight students preparing for Oxbridge exams. It's about their teachers, about their relationships with their teachers, a story of ambition and education and sex. It's going to be performed by the Oxford University Student Company, and it should be really, really good. It's at the Playhouse from today until Saturday, £11 to £17 for tickets.
That sounds great, and perhaps if it's being performed by the student company, the memories of Oxbridge interviews will be fresh in their minds, so it'll be a very real performance. I hope it doesn't bring up too many bad memories. Also coming up this evening at 7:30pm at the Art Bar, formerly the Bullingdon Arms on the Cowley Road, is a rock band, Pulled Apart by Horses. They're playing at Leeds and Reading Festival. It's an over 18s only gig, so bear that in mind if you're booking tickets. You might describe Pulled Apart by Horses' music as kind of tight indie metal music, and they're being supported by The Witches, and I would describe them as Amerindie melodic thrash garage rock. I couldn't vouch for the veracity of that description, and they were for me slightly reminiscent of the early Dandy Warhols. Do go along and see what you think.
Sounds like a great opportunity to hear quite a big band in quite an intimate space. Starting tonight as well is the wonderful May Music Festival. It's the seventh year of the festival. It's a unique mix of concerts by leading musicians and lectures by experts in their field. The music ranges all across the classical spectrum. You've got some Bach, some Mozart, Haydn, Beethoven, through Schumann, Mendelssohn, Chopin, and some Prokofiev, and some Glass even. So it's the whole gamut. And the talks range from biomedical science, geology, neuroscience, and astrophysics, all kinds of topics. Really cool stuff. You can see the full programme on the website. Some of them are in the Holywell Music Room, and some in Greyfriars and St John the Evangelist Church on Ifty Road. That's today until Monday. A really, really interesting festival.
You may have noticed that May Day is coming up. You may also be aware that May Day is quite a big deal in Oxford. It's a famous day of celebration, the most noted feature of it being the choristers of Magdalen College, who will rise to the top of Magdalen Tower at dawn and will sing a rather interesting set of music to the watching and listening revellers who traditionally fall silent. Do please note the silent bit for the singing at dawn on Magdalen Bridge. But it's open this year, hooray!
If listening to the choristers isn't quite your thing, but you still want to be up early and celebrating the wonders of May Day, then you could go along to the steps of the Clarendon Building at 6 a.m. To hear the Hurly Burly Whirly By God It's Early band playing loud and raucous and joyous tunes from which are as old as the hills from the steps of the Clarendon Building.
That's a fantastic name for a band. I think that wins.
Pretty good mouthful, isn't it?
That's awesome. That's very in tradition of May Day. The Clarendon Building, of course, being at the end of Broad Street, kind of diagonally opposite the King's Arms, so a good combination there, potentially. Do go along with bits of plant in your hair.
Yes, greenery is definitely the dress code.
There is, I believe, a green man. I've seen him before. I'm sure he'll be out again. Or should I say, a tree that walks the streets of Oxford on May Day. That looks like a great gig. I'd love to do that. I'm sure all you have to do is dress up as a tree and walk out in the streets, and you'll be welcomed possibly by your other tree folk.
And we've got one more musical treat for you for May Day as well, and that's local band Telling the Bees have recorded a special May Day song, and it's going to be on their new album. But just for May Day, they're doing it as a free download off their website. So if you want to hear a Telling the Bees song for free, then go to tellingthebees.co.uk and you can download their May Day song. And if you haven't had enough to dance to by the time the Hurly Whirly Burly Guide, by God It's Early band, by the time the Hurly Burly Whirly By God It's Early band have finished playing, then you'll be glad to hear that the Get Up and Dance lot, who are the early morning dance party specialists. I love Oxford. There's so many things happening here.
That's dedication.
That really is. They are organising a roving rave with a bicycle-powered sound system, and they'll be starting at the Clarendon Steps and then roving around the place. The dress code is springtime/rave/pagan. So pretty much whatever you want to wear. As many of you may know, it's a lot easier to be up at dawn if you haven't been to bed. So there's live music all over the city and DJs and things to keep you occupied, including at the Cellar, the Bear, the Bridge and the Art Bar. There's a Moulin Rouge party at Camera, and there's a 12-hour party tour organised by the Brooks Fleshers lot. starting on an open-top bus, then heading to the Cherwell Boathouse, Lolo and Clementine's, finishing with a survivor's breakfast, just in time for the morning celebrations.
That does sound quite a punishing schedule.
It does, doesn't it?
You might want to have a good meal before you went out on that one. Clementine's is sadly closing, so this will be one of the very last parties at Clem's, so do go along there and show your support for many years of the existence of Clem's Bar.
Just to say you've been, like...
Exactly. Last chance. Go now.
After all this dancing, you're probably going to be quite hungry.
Yes, and fortunately, the many purveyors of breakfast foods across Oxford have not fallen asleep and not noticed this requirement, need for tireless serving of food throughout the night. And there were some very dedicated people getting up very early and serving a lot of food, so do tip generously. So, where can you eat on May morning? Open all night, our TikTok cafe, which is just at the start of the County Road by the plain roundabout. They will be serving full English breakfast and other foods. Also all night, the Oxford Retreat on Hythe Bridge Street, again with DJs. Full English breakfast served from 2 a.m. To 6 a.m. on May Day. Tull Street Kitchen, which is obviously on Tull Street, will also be opening all night, serving drinks right through until midnight on Thursday night. So that's a very long opening schedule for them. I hope they've got lots of shifts. They'll be serving baps from 5 a.m. and sit-down breakfast from 7 a.m., including Bloody Mary. Queen Lane's Coffee House opens at 3 a.m. on the High Street. At 4 a.m. Rick's Cafe on Cowley Road. At 4:30 a.m. Patisserie Valerie on the High Street. At 5 a.m. we have Quad, The Rose on High Street. Pukeko Coffee and Zappi's Cafe are going to be cycling or mobile coffeeing around the Radcliffe Camera Square, delivering coffee and possibly baked goods from a mobile machine. The Organic Deli Cafe will be serving the normal breakfast menu, including full English, but also a vegan breakfast. So if you're on the west side of the bridge and you're looking for vegan food, the Organic Deli Cafe is probably your best bet. From 5:30 a.m, the Cape of Good Hope, which is on Iffley Road, will be serving alcohol and non-alcoholic beverages and also breakfast foods. The Vaults and Gardens, which is the lovely cafe restaurant in the University Church on the High Street, will be serving breakfast and Mediterranean breakfast, which sounds quite interesting, possibly more healthy than the other options, who knows.
Sounds very nice.
Yeah, it does sound good. And from 6 a.m, all the G&Ds, that's Lord Crownham Street, St Aldate's and Cowley Road, will all be open with their usual menus and some exciting extra options, so that sounds fun. They'll also be on the bridge. The G&Ds team will be handing out free hot chocolate and bagels, which does sound like a very good idea. Look for the enormous cow suit and you will find something you like. The News Cafe also at 6 a.m, also the Grand Cafe on the High Street, the Bear Inn with live music, breakfast, baps and their garden being open, the White Horse on Broad Street, the Grapes on George Street, Jim Bob's Baguettes, which is the new baguette shop, they'll be open from 6 also. Also at 6, the Buttery on Broad Street, Jericho Cafe on Wharton Street, the Anchor on Hayfield Road, the Crown on Cornmarket Street, the Art Cafe on Bond Square, Atomic Burger on County Road, Checkers on the High Street, the King's Arms on the corner of Park Square and Hollywell Street, which is your venue to go to after
the Hurly Burly, by God It's Early Whirly band.
The Big Bang at the Oxford Castle Court Quarter, which will be doing sausage breakfast with Bloody Marys and bangers. Combibus Coffee on Gloucester Green, who will also do a free and tea and coffee and a student discount. So if you're west of the bridge and you've got a student card, Combibus Coffee on Gloucester Green would be a good choice for you. The Varsity Club, which is upstairs on the First Avenue, the Covered Market. And the Port Mahon is the final 6 a.m. opening for breakfast. 6:30 a.m, which is your final opening, is All Bar One on the High Street with a crazy breakfast from 6:30 a.m. So do tell us what that was like. I hope it meets your expectations. That's the full list of breakfasts in Oxford on May Day 2014.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yep, I know where I'm going.
There is, of course, another side to May Day, in that it's also International Workers' Day. Oxford Playhouse and Pegasus Theatre have teamed up to create an exciting event to celebrate it. Here is Michelle Walker, producer at the Playhouse, to tell us all about it.
So on Thursday, for 12 hours... from dawn till dusk, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m, there'll be a soapbox on Broad Street. And all sorts of people from Oxford will be having their 5 minutes on the soapbox. We've got scientists, we've got people talking about hedgehogs, we've got some groups as well. So we think in total we've got about 200 people taking part. About 25 organisations from around the city have joined in as well to talk about a big idea they've got, or a little idea, a passion of theirs that's really important to them, a cause that they just want to share with the world. So it's a massive collaborative undertaking with and about the city of Oxford and all the brilliant ideas that are buzzing around in people's heads. We're ending the day with a big slam poetry competition. The last hour of the day from 6 till 7 is going to be led by Hammer and Tongue, so it'll be a really rousing finale.
I really like those events which you can just sort of stumble across as you're doing other things in town, and suddenly there's something really exciting happening. It's really nice.
If you wanted to do something that's kind of completely unrelated to May Day but happens to be happening around the time, what would your recommendation be?
Well, there's at the New Theatre, stars of Strictly, Vincent Simone and Flavia Cacace are presenting their new dance show. This time it's themed the Golden Age of Hollywood, and you can expect stunning sets and really gorgeous costumes, 1920s American costumes, a live band, world-class dancers and timeless sophistication, all wrapped up in a classic love story. That's on Thursday to Saturday, 7:30 at the New Theatre, and tickets are $17.90 to $48.90, depending on where you sit and when you book.
Also coming up this week, Friday and Saturday, at the Pegasus Theatre on Magdalen Street, we have They've Got Something. This is 7:30pm. It's a comedy and live sketch band. It's billed as a hilarious new comedy sketch show from Michael and Jeeps. Michael and Jeeps are described as a charming pair who mix character comedy and clowning in an artful and infectious way that is a hit with audiences of all ages. So they sound like they've got a good mix of comedy and music going on there. They've apparently been compared to everyone from The Mighty Boosh to Morecambe and Wise, and they create sketch comedy with a live band on stage. So surely something for everyone there.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
Also being celebrated this month is the twinning of Oxford and Grenoble. Oxford and Grenoble have been twinned for 25 years, Grenoble in France being one of several towns with whom Oxford is twinned, the other ones being Leiden in the Netherlands, Bonn in Germany, Perm in Russia and Leon in Nicaragua. Grenoble and Oxford have been twinned since the 1980s. Grenoble in southeastern France has some similarities with Oxford in that there's a thriving academic, cultural, scientific and economic life. We are, however, rather smaller than Grenoble. Grenoble is about 500,000 people, which is roughly four times the size of Oxford. And the Oxford-Grenoble Association has been spearheading the link between Oxford and Grenoble since 1989. There have been regular exchanges between Oxford and Grenoble, including education, sporting, professional and cultural events, since that time. For example, Carmine Burana in 2007 was a production of the wonderful opera where participants from Bonn, Grenoble, Leiden and Oxford were all performing this opera and fundraising for Leon in Nicaragua, so there's an idea of trying to help the less fortunate members of the twinning circle, so that's quite a nice slant on it. And there are a number of activities taking place through to Saturday the 3rd of May, including art exhibitions, concerts, choirs, photo exhibitions, jazz and folk, performances, book events and many festivities. You can see the full range of these events on dailyinfo.co.uk, where you can see all the events that we've talked about and every other event that's happening in Oxford, so do go along and check them out. The one event that I would particularly pick out from the Twinning Festival is The Big Book. The Big Book is a very big book. It's in fact 2.2 metres high.
That's a very big book.
It's enormous. I would challenge anyone to find a bigger one. It's actually a sculpture of wood and leather by Diana Bell, who is an Oxfordshire artist. And The Big Book has travelled all across Europe and it's been opened up and people have been able to put stuff in it. So there are 5,000 entries from all of its many travels, and there is one last opportunity. It's the final opening of the book and the last opportunity to add your contribution to it. So go along to the Story Museum, which is on Pembroke Street, until the 2nd of May, which is Friday, and it's open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So a limited time left to go and add something to the big book before you can just see it. So I definitely think I will try and do that.
Marvellous stuff. I wonder what we should add.
Is there anything else happening? Perhaps a national festival this week?
There is indeed a fantastic national festival organised by the National Theatre. It's called the National Theatre Connections Festival, and it's a celebration of youth theatre. They've commissioned 10 new plays by British writers suitable for youth and school theatre groups to perform. In Oxford, our participating theatre is the North Wall, and over the weekend there will be performances by 8 local groups. A day ticket costs just £6 plus your booking fee, and that covers 4 whole plays. Really, really good value for money. The writing looks really brilliant and the subjects of the plays look really interesting, really wide-ranging, and some very funny and very dark. So that's Saturday and Sunday at the North Wall.
Regular listeners to the podcast will know that North Wall is one of my favourite venues in Oxford, so do go along to see the converted swimming pool if you've not been before. Also coming up this week, we have the result of the Oxford Canal Heritage Project. Now, the Oxford Canal Heritage Project is a lottery-funded project which is focused on the history and, I suppose, the cultural significance of particularly the last 3 miles of the 77-mile Oxford Canal. That will be from Duke's Cut Lock, where the Duke of Marlborough made his famous, in boating circles, cut through to the River Thames to enable easier access between the waterways down the Hythe Bridge Street in Oxford. And the Canal Heritage Project has worked with local local communities, and they've created information and resources about the canal's rich cultural and industrial history, which spans over 200 years. It was created in the 1790s. So there are a couple of events which will be the culmination of all this hard work over the last couple of months for Oxford Canal Heritage Day, which is on Saturday the 3rd of May. At the Old Fire Station, the whole day will be celebrating the Oxford Canal. At 10:30 a.m. you have Tony Joyce, who is Chair of the Jericho Living Heritage Trust, and Councillor Tony Brett, who is the Deputy Mayor of Oxford, and John Best, who is the Chair of the South East Waterway Partnership, which is one of the new bodies created by the Canal and River Trust, who are now the body who look after all of Britain's rivers and canals apart from the River Thames, and they will be talking about the importance of the Oxford Canal and its heritage. The Oxford Canal was a famously quickly built canal. It's a contour canal, so it follows all the wiggles and winds through the Oxford countryside, and it's quite narrow, so very much narrow boats only. So if you have a wide beam boat, you'll have to stick to the Thames. So amongst the many events, which you can see on dailyinfo.co.uk, celebrating the Oxford Canal, is the Celebrating the Oxford Canal concert. That's at 8 p.m. at the Old Fire Station, and it's a night of music, poetry and dancing, and it's going to be a fun and eclectic evening of music, and all of it is inspired by the canal, so it's traditional and original songs from some of Oxford's canal-loving performers. Oxford Canal has some famous followers. John Betjeman spoke out in support of it staying open in the 50s, and Philip Pullman famously been very supportive of the Jericho Boatyard returning to its correct purpose. So no doubt there'll be lots of people who are really fired up by it, so it should be some good original work and all rousingly performed. So do go along to see the various events happening at the Old Fire Station on Saturday. So you may be wondering how people who live on boats register to vote, or indeed people who live anywhere that isn't a particularly fixed residence. So we have Jen, our local electoral expert, to tell us exactly how that happens and who you might want to vote for, or rather who you could vote for in the upcoming European elections.
Thank you. So it is a bizarre coincidence that all three of us in this podcast here are boat residents, which is very odd. The quirk to Daily Info, I like to think. I hadn't realised when we first moved onto a boat that not having a postcode of your own can be quite such a disenfranchising experience. But fortunately, there is a solution to this, and you have to fill in a form called a Declaration of Local Connection. And this is for all people with no fixed address. And the examples that they give on the website are patients in mental hospitals, homeless people, or people who are remanded in custody but not yet convicted, who are still able to vote. We are special category electors, those categories of people plus houseboat dwellers. So, if you don't have a postcode, you need to have somewhere where you are regularly hanging about or associated with, and you need to have somewhere where you can pick up your polling card, so somewhere either that things are sent to you or you can go and pick them up from the electoral registry office. If you'd like to register to vote, whether or not you have a fixed address, you'll need to talk to the people at the City Council who handle electoral register, and their number is 01865 252987. From them, you can request a form as such as we've described, or you can register in the normal way. Now, if you've moved house, especially since last December, but definitely in the last year, it's worth checking that you are registered at your new address. And the reason we are talking about this now is because there are elections coming up on Thursday the 22nd of May. And for those elections, you will need to register by the 6th of May. If you would like a postal vote or a proxy vote, you will need to register by the 7th of May, that's next Wednesday. And after that, you can't register for either of those things unless you suddenly become very ill after that and need to a proxy voter, in which case they'll still accommodate you nearer the time. If you do want to get a no fixed address registration, it's valid for 12 months. So you need to make sure you renew it at the end of that time. They will send you a reminder, but because they call elections quite suddenly, it's worth maintaining yourself on that list. There's also another type of registering for elections which I hadn't realised about, which is the anonymous registration. So that's if your name or address would put you at risk if they were known to the general public. So I'm of course thinking spies immediately, but actually sadly it's probably mostly victims of domestic abuse or something like that, where you don't want everyone to know where you are, and then you get an electoral number and you can vote under that instead. So who are you voting for on the 22nd of May? There are several types of elections around here. In Oxford City, city councillors are being elected for all 24 wards, so everyone will have a form for city councillors. Parish councils are holding elections in Blackbird Leas and Northfield Brook. So a few of those. And everybody needs to vote for MEPs. And in Great Britain, we have a system of proportional representation. So you vote once for a party. And the party can stand as many members as it wants to, up to the number of 10, which is the number of MEPs we're electing in the South East as a bloc. And then those 10 candidates will be made up from the different parties depending on the proportion of votes. And if you're interested in proportional representation and how it works, there's a lovely example on the European Parliament website involving the Smarties Party and the Jelly Babies Party, explaining all how it works much better than I can here. A useful website to know more about voting and indeed all the categories of voting and how you register and all sorts of things like that, aboutmyvote.co.uk, which is a sort of national website but will direct you to your local authority, so wherever you are listening it will give you phone numbers for your local people if you want to check you're registered and or register. Remember to do that by the 6th of May.
So, from the very serious topic of being registered to vote to the other very serious topic of jousting.
Yes, jousting is a very important topic. Jousting plays a very important role in the development of chivalry in the medieval society. So a lot of the kings and noblemen in England have got where they were by knocking each other off their horses with big long spikes, or not spikes, hopefully this time. So now you can see jousting in action. Our modern noble folk, possibly reenacting noble folk, will be visiting Blenheim Palace with falcons from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. from Saturday until Monday. You can go and see the Knights of Royal England joust at each other and fly birds around. Gallant knights will battle for glory in this spectacular jousting tournament, and it's £12.50 or £9.30 for concessions and £6.50 for a child, so roughly a tenner gets you a lot of people knocking each other off horses at speed, and it's a fantastic thing to watch. If you've ever been to races or anything like that with horses, the pounding of the hooves, the thundering across the race course, you get all of that, but you've got people rushing at each other and you get the clonk as some guy gets knocked off his horse, and it's amazing that they carry on doing it. So good for them.
Yeah, sounds utterly terrifying and very exciting. Marvellous. This week is the beginning of Oxfordshire Art Weeks. Art Weeks is fantastic. It's enormous as well.
It's a huge festival.
Mm-hmm. It's the county's biggest art event. And over the next 3 weeks, there will be more than 400 exhibitions and events all around the county. The first week from the 3rd to the 11th is South Oxfordshire. Then the second week is the North Oxfordshire leg of it. And then finally, we've got the 17th to the 26th is based in Oxford City Centre. So there'll be opportunities to see and buy local art, visit artists in their studios. And there's work in every medium you can imagine. So from ceramics and paintings and prints and textiles to drawings, sculptures, furniture, glass and mosaics and loads of other stuff. On the website there's lots of lovely pictures of the things that you might see, lots of little thumbnails of work by lots of different artists, and it should be really nice. And the fact that it's everywhere and for such a long time means that everyone can get to at least a little bit of it, just one open studio maybe in your lunch break.
If you want to see something else in the making, you could go to the Showstoppers Improvised Musical at the Cornerstone Arts Centre at 7 p.m. on Sunday. The idea is that actors on stage and band will perform in front of your eyes a musical, improvised, based on audience recommendations, and you get to direct it and have your input. And certainly it was great fun on the radio, so I should imagine it would be even more fun in real life.
They sound like very brave performers.
So that's at 7 p.m. At the Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot on Sunday. If you want to go to something else that sounds great fun, you could do a lot worse than the East Oxford Fun Dog Show. I don't know if this is a requirement that your dog must be fun to enter it, but I have yet to really find a completely unfun dog, so I'm sure they'll all rise to the occasion. And that's being run by the Friends of Aston's Eyot. Aston's Eyot, of course, being the nature reserve next to the kidneys. It's free entry to go and see it, and it's £1 per class, so various classes and obedience tests that you can put your dog through. I must say, I would never put my dog through an obedience test. It would have been very embarrassing. So if you're brave, go along for that. 2 to 5 p.m. and that's at the playing field of St Mary and John Primary School on Meadow Lane, just off the Iffley Road.
Marvellous stuff. So the grand anniversary of World War II this year, isn't there? There seems to be a lot of things happening under that guise.
Yes, there is a lot of stuff going on to commemorate D-Day and the events around 1944. So Charles and Wallingford Railway are doing a World War II weekend, and the tagline is "Take a ride back in time." So there will be displays of military vehicles and the first Berkshire Home Guard Living History Group, so perhaps Dad's Army in action. and there will also be live jazz from the Sheila Selway Trio on board the train from 12:05. Now, at the moment, the railway is diesel-hauled because the steam train has a little leak in its boiler, which is being worked on. It's very sad whenever you hear a steam train can't operate because everyone loves them. But I've had a look, and the diesel trains they have are pretty cool. They're all kind of old school shunters, and they look lovely and chunky, and they're painted really nice. And while it's not quite steam, an old diesel engine can have a pretty nice sound to it. So do go along anywhere, and they have all the lovely old carriages and, you know, jazz in the train. Sounds fantastic. There'll also be free bouncy castle rides for children under 10 with a ticket for the train. And there's free car parking at Wallingford Station. So that sounds like it should be great. So that's on Sunday and Monday, and the train departs from 11 o'clock at Wallingford through to 4 o'clock from Wallingford, and back from Cholsey from 11:30 to 4:30. And you can also visit their museum, their gift shop and their cafe.
That sounds like a lovely thing to do. Really, really great. Live music, trains, bouncy castles. What else do you need?
Everyone loves trains. Trains are great.
We wouldn't normally tempt you with things to do on a Monday, except this one's going to be a bank holiday, so you can do pretty much whatever you like. And I suggest that you should go and see a film. There's a showing at 11:30 and at 8:30 at the Phoenix of a lovely film called The Lunchbox. Every time we do the podcast, I learn something new. And this time, it was about the Tiffinwallers. Apparently, every day in Mumbai, an enormous network of Tiffinwallers take hot lunches from people's homes to workers' offices. And then they take the empty cans back again. And in this film, a mix-up in the system leads to a correspondence between two people who never meet, but they become very, very close. Ila, who is trying to win back her husband's heart, and Sajan, a widower, they become quite intertwined. A wonderfully romantic story and a very highly acclaimed film, nominated for, and they won a lot of different prizes. It just looks like the most beautiful film that's on this week in Oxford, so we thought we should tell you about it.
Also coming up very shortly is the Oxford Brookes University Festival. This is the Outburst Festival. It's in its third year, and it showcases the cutting-edge research and expertise from all across the university, both from the staff and the students, and it's intended to demonstrate what's going on in a kind of stimulating and fun way. And there will be all sorts of installations, lectures, workshops, exhibitions and general discussions, and it's aimed at all age groups, so it's not just for students or just for intellectuals. It's aimed at absolutely everyone. So on Tuesday at 6 to 7 p.m. Oxford Young Writers, featuring Azwa Awad, who is the 19-year-old winner of the Christopher Tower Poetry Prize, will be reading poems from writers aged 14 to 18. At 6:30 p.m. there'll be Radical Reading, which is a multimedia presentation, and at 9 p.m. there'll be Collected Vision, which is the School of Arts, a student film screening, so that should always be fun. If you've ever been to the Oxford University Film Society Cuppa screening in the Phoenix, it's always amazing what short films people can make, and the city's a great location for it. The theme of this year's festival is radical thinking.
It sounds like a lot of fun, and if you want to hear all about the rest of the festival, then you'll have to listen to next week's podcast on Wednesday,
where you can hear all the other events that are coming up in Oxford that week. And as ever, if you want to hear about any other events, or get a job, or find a house, or get a bike, or do pretty much anything to do with Oxford, then go to dailyinfo.co.uk. We strive to provide everything you might need, and if we don't do anything that you think we should, drop us an email at info@dailyinfo.co.uk or tweet us at dailyinfooxford, and you can find us on Facebook. Search Daily Info Oxford on Facebook.
We've got one more event for you before we sign off this week, and it's called The Listening Room. It's been running for a little while, but it's just moved day. It's a monthly event, and it's moved to Tuesdays. It used to be Sundays. It's at the old fire station, 7:30, the doors open for 8 o'clock this Tuesday. Runs monthly, and it's a showcase for new bands. It's a hand-picked selection of the best of local music, just for you. Three bands at a bargain price of £7 for your ticket. This one is going to be Matt Carter and Crayon and Vienna Ditto. Three fantastic acts. Really worth hearing.
It's a nice name as well, The Listening Room. It suggests that, you know, you should go along and give it your full attention, which isn't always what happens in gigs. So a great showcase for up-and-coming music.
Yes, really good stuff.
And if you do go along to that or any of the other events, do submit a review. You can do that at dailyinfo.co.uk as well. And if you really like reviewing and fancy getting free tickets, then you could try out for our official reviewers list. Submit a sample of your written work to reviewers at dailyinfo.co.uk.